Then the same day, at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this to his brethren, he breathed on him, and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see his hands and the prints of the nails and put my finger into the point of the nail, the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Father God, we just ask that we just feel the presence of your Spirit here in this place, and we just are so grateful for it. Continue to move throughout the remainder of this service. Speak through this vessel. Open our ears, our hearts, and our minds to receive the fullness of what you have for us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may keep sitting. What a glorious day. How was that worship? Oh my. There is power when the brethren and the sistren come together to worship God, to be in his presence together. That's the heart of God. When he says, "Forsake not the gathering together, especially as you see the day approaching," he's talking about the spirit that many of you felt in this room today. Some may be sitting out there extremely confused about, "I felt something, but I'm not exactly sure what it was." I understand that. I spent a few years here myself, not knowing exactly what I was feeling. I just knew that I liked it. But that is the presence of God in the room, because the believers join together in unity. So just remember that. And with that, I'll throw out my yearly joke. Today we celebrate Easter Sunday, and I do want to be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas. No. I'm confusing. It's Easter. That's right. It's we're here to be here together. So for those at home, we're praying a blessing over you as well. We wish that you can come back. We hope that you can come back when you're ready to come back. Till then, God bless you and keep you safe. For us here, this happens all the time. I just want to share that with you. It happens all the time. Come, be a part of this body and see what God will do, in Jesus' name. We just read a very powerful scripture. We were told to listen and listen carefully, because there's much going on here. Pastor James spoke earlier, and he enjoys the competitiveness of John and Peter. And when he spoke of Peter being the old man and slow, and then he lit up when he saw that John was the younger and faster. It is John that has the understanding in a really cool way. Peter went in first and looked, but John came to a point of belief when he saw that Jesus was not in the tomb. Sometimes it's the young people that can see it first. Sometimes the old people might be slow to get there. And they operate sometimes out of a history of hearing things and doing things. And sometimes it's the little child that sees Jesus. We have some children and our grandchildren. I'm sure this is true for the young ones in this church. We're talking about communion because we had a special Thursday meal. And we had communion really at this meal. And what they know about communion. And here I'm saying, well, I don't know if you can take communion with us today or not, but she knew everything she needed to know. I think she's ready. Because they see God in a purer way than sometimes we do. They believe in a deep way, sometimes more than we do. So we rejoice at what God has done in the little children and in my world, in me. I want to be a little bit more like that and believe a little quicker and a little better with the same kind of understanding that I get from a child when I see a child's belief. How beautiful is that? To me, it is so beautiful. Now, after they went in the tomb, and they're trying to make sense of all that took place. Verse 20 says, "For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead." He must rise again from the dead. In John 2:19, Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll rise it up again." He gave them a prophetic word. And then in John 2:20 it says, "Then the Jews said, 'It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you'll raise it up in 3 days?'" But he wasn't speaking of a building, a brick and mortar. He was talking about his own body. The temple of the Spirit dwelled in Jesus. The temple of the Spirit of God dwells in you if you've invited him in. He dines with you. He lives in you. And if we're really open to the Spirit in us, we will respond as he would have us respond because he lives in us. I will speak and say and do what the Spirit of God who dwells in this temple tells me to speak and hear and do. Speak and listen and do. And he'll do that for you too. But these men, there's just so much. Can you imagine what they're feeling? They spent 3 years with Jesus, teaching them, experiencing the full love of God against all opposition, who demonstrated love, love, love to everyone. And when he spoke to those who were against him, it was in a spirit of love. They saw healings and they saw miracles. And like we heard on Good Friday, that wonderful service on Good Friday, the signs, the wonders, and the miracles, and he still goes to the grave. And now they see the empty tomb. And they can't help but feel the things that us in our humanity feel when we don't fully know what's going on. What's happened to this one who is nurturing us, caring for us, loving us? What happened? We don't get it. He said and did all these things. And the very simple scripture that they heard him give, and the one from Psalm 16, that tells us also once, Psalm, not 160, I'm sorry, Psalm 16:10 says, "For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." So there were words and there were scriptures given to them that maybe they should have known by that what was going to happen. Maybe they should have known by the fact that build this temple, or tear this temple down, and in 3 days I'll rise it up again. Maybe they should have known. Kind of goes to show us that we don't get by on our head knowledge, do we? Somebody tells me something, that's not always enough for me to go by. Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, as revealed by the Spirit of God, operating by the will of God, coming through the Son of God, always at work. And you'll see that their understanding grows, and it grows as the Spirit of God becomes more prevalent in them. We get a chance to hear Jesus' voice and then her name when he's speaking to Mary. It says, "But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus lay. Then they said to her," this is the angels now, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. It's very similar to the apostles on the way to Emmaus, where they're walking and talking with Jesus, and the veil was over their face, and they couldn't see that it was him until God revealed himself to them. And this is so beautiful, how he reveals himself to her. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus says to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "teacher." What did he do? He called her by her name. He called her by her name. He knows our name. Names matter. He knew her name. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls. He hears me when I call. How beautiful. And she heard her name and she sees who he is. Can you imagine what was going through her? She knew right then and there. And by the way, and I share this in our Hear Journal, the idea of hearing our name matters. The idea of names matter, but the idea of his name matters. He has a name. And you've heard from this pulpit when we say his name. That name which is above every name. That at that name, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Above the earth and on the earth and under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Oh, doesn't it? Ah, you should get excited about that. Your name will be called and you will bow before him. In fact, you'll be on your face before him. And he will pick you up. Embrace you. Wipe away the tears. Oh, that name, that glorious name. I just got excited and I lost my place. How does this happen? His sheep will hear his voice. Are you one of his sheep? When he speaks your name, Bruce, will you hear him when he calls your name? Yes, you will. Holly, will you hear his name when he calls your name? Yes, I'm going to hear it. In fact, I'm kind of listening for it. I want to hear it. Call my name. I'm next. Call me. Oh, first will be last. Get back there. No, I'm just saying, he'll call our names if you're in him. The sad thing is, if you're not in him, maybe you don't hear his name. Maybe you don't hear your name. Because the truth is, he's calling right now. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears and opens the door, I will come in and sup with him." Oh, Jesus. Some of you, he's knocking right now. And sitting right where you're at right now, you know that you know that you know that you don't know him. You know his name. That's good. We just talked about names. But you don't know him. And he wants to be made known in you. He wants you to know him. Because then he can work in you and through you for you. Jesus. The name of Jesus. And then in verse 17, Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God." One of the most powerful scriptures and verses in scripture in my mind's eye. When Jesus breaks every norm, every way of life for the Jew, and he allows a woman, Mary of Magdalene, to go and preach the gospel to the apostles. He said, "Go and tell my brethren." The honor is real. And he sends her to go and speak the gospel. What was the gospel? The gospel was this: he is risen. He is risen. Yes, right, Ralph. He is risen indeed, just like he said. So if you heard that today from any number of people, enjoy that. Enjoy that reminder of the truth that he is risen just like he said. Oh, Jesus. Lord Jesus, right now I pray that you rise in the eyes and the hearts of people who don't know who you are, whether you're watching online or if you're here alive, that you become alive. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. And then Mary shares the good news. She came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. I love it. In Romans 8:11 it says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So you too will rise again if you are in him. You should get a little excited about that. And if you're not excited, I want to know if you're awake. And if you're not awake, I want to know if you're living. Are you living? He's going to call your name and you are going to rise. You're going to come and you're going to respond because that's what he does. And if you can't hear him, then I want you to listen real quiet. Because right now he's knocking. He's knocking on your heart's door. He's saying, I want in. Let me at your heart. I want to change your heart. I want to love you. I want to bless you. I want to encourage you. I want to raise you up. I want to use you for my glory and for my purposes. That's what I want to do with you. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That's what will happen if you truly let him in. Oh, God, you are so amazing. So what does he do? In John 20:22, it says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And I know, as much as I know anything, that every Pentecostal charismatic believer in this room is going, yes, he's going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Yes, I am, but it's not what you think. When he breathed on him, on them, what he did was he sealed their salvation in their heart. It is what happens when we invite Christ into our heart. The Spirit of God seals it, that it becomes real, and nothing can snatch you out of your hand. I remember Pastor Jerry, nothing can snatch you out of his hand. Your name is scribed in the book of life, and there's no erasers. I remember vividly because it changed me when I heard that from Pastor Jerry. And that's what happens. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. But we know in another 40 days or so, there's another outpouring of the Holy Spirit that comes at Pentecost, and we'll talk about that then. And then all the crazy little spirit people in here, and I'm one of them, will rejoice and celebrate. We'll pray for you all to get the same spirit that was put in us to be put in you so that you can just walk a little lighter on your feet. Because then he's going to give you power. And what does the power look like? First looks like the ability to testify about him, to say that he is risen, to say that he has come again, to say that he is in me, to say that he has changed my life. I will have the power to say those things. And by the way, it is a process. I have not fully arrived, but I do have the Spirit of God in me, and I'm getting better at it. You know what I did today, this morning? And Ralph can testify. Oh, I got to send a text. Maybe he's sitting here today. His golf game will get better if that's the truth. I don't know. I got to send a text to this guy who keeps hounding me to go golfing with him. I said, I can't today because we have church service. Our church is at 1840 West Mason Street. We're called Living Hope Church. We start at 10:30. And when you come and when you leave, you'll be different. You'll be blessed. Why could I do that? One, because I'm a better golfer than he is. Two, and the real reason is because the Spirit of God is in me. And he does give me the ability to do this. And if I didn't have the Spirit of God in me, I could hardly ask for a guy that gave me the wrong change back. I said, well, I just think he can keep it. Because there was no power in me. In my flesh is no good thing, and especially no Holy Spirit operating in me. But I'm pretty excited because the Spirit of God lives in me. So that giving of the Holy Spirit was for the sealing of the Spirit of the salvation in these men. Hallelujah. What about the disciples then when they said, you'll have the ability to forgive people of their sins and you can retain sins? Let's be really clear about that. In me, there is no power of my own accord to forgive anybody's sin. I mean, I can say I can forgive my neighbor who's sinned against me, yeah. But say my handsome gentleman right here comes up and said, dude, I need forgiveness. I'll say, yes, you do. Forgive me that I might be saved. Well, I forgive you already, but I can't save you. That one who's knocking on your heart's door, he's the one who can save you. I can say that. What am I doing? I can proclaim the gospel, like what we're doing right now. We can proclaim the gospel. God has already forgiven all. But I proclaim it so some receive that forgiveness in Jesus' name. So when I say you are forgiven, or I say Jesus came to save you, to die for your sins, that's real. Jesus already did that. The Bible says from before the foundations of the earth, that forgiveness has taken place. Do I receive it or do I reject it? And you think it's an easy decision, don't you? It is not an easy decision. Because with that decision, I know something has to change in my life. I have to change. I just gave him my heart and he wants to change it. That's a hard process, but I'm willing to go there. But some say, I'm not willing to have my heart change. I'm king of my own castle. I'm the king of my own temple. Yes, you are. And what you have done is you've refused the gift of salvation that has already taken place because forgiveness has happened. Your opportunity is to receive the gift and not make light of it. That's what's on you. The work was already done before the foundation of the earth, and we saw the physical demonstration of it at the cross. And that's what we celebrate today. Your sins are forgiven. Now receive that in Jesus' name. In 1 Corinthians 15:3, I believe we heard some reading today. For I delivered to you first of all that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And he was seen, this is so beautiful, he was seen by Cephas, by the 12. He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained to be present. You see, this is the evidence that we go by. God gives none of us full, complete proof. Because it's faith that he loves and wants in us. But what does he do? He gives us plenty of evidence. He gives us evidence enough to believe. But not proof like Thomas where I have to touch him. I have to put my finger in his hands and I have to put my hand in his side. Because that's not faith. That's proof. Thank you, Jesus, for the evidence that you've given us. Look at the evidence. Chet Bruett got me a book, or he got me to get a book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. And it's just filled, it's like this thick. If I look at you funny someday and I say, hey, I got a book for you, and it's this one, that tells you something about what I think about your salvation. No, I'm kidding. Or it tells you, I think you need to go to Bible school because I think God has gifted you. It'll be one or the other. And it's just evidence upon evidence upon evidence. So what's the evidence here? 500 people saw him at once. All the apostles saw him, some several times. And even Paul saw him, who was out killing Christians after Jesus died. Paul was killing Christians. In Galatians, it speaks about, excuse me. Oh, I'm so sorry. Paul sees him, and he teaches Paul for 3 years, the Bible says, in Arabia. He raises him up. Now, it could have been the Spirit of God. I believe it was Jesus himself. That's just me, because God can do whatever God needs to do, whatever he desires to do. There's different people that have these visions that see Jesus. He was seen by James. And last of all, he was also seen by me. As one born out of due time, and that's Paul speaking. The evidence is plentiful. And it seems to me, as I watch media and I see things happening, every now and then there's a new invention. There's a new revelation, a new rock was turned over. a new piece of evidence came about. A new writing was discovered. And all of these corroborate Jesus and what he was about. The historical evidence is crazy clear. But on this day, there was plenty of evidence given. And then in 26, it says, after 8 days, he and the disciples were inside again. With them was the whole story of Thomas. Reach your hand and your finger in here. But the word at the end of that, he says, do not be unbelieving, but believing. And that's the charge to all of us. And by the way, this is no easy thing. It's a battle within us to be believing. It really is. I watched what happened to the church. Last year, we couldn't even have this service. And I watched what happened to the church. And the separations and the divisions took place because of belief at different levels. It's one thing. Faith at different levels, that's another thing. Not willing to love at different levels, that's another thing. And I watched all these things happen within the church. Not just the world, the church. So it takes work to be believing and not unbelieving. Faith comes from Christ. Faith comes by hearing his word. Faith comes by the Spirit of God speaking to our hearts. Fear is always at our door. It is always there. I can't do this. I shouldn't do that. I think I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it on my own because I didn't have the faith to listen to the word. And they're wrestling with all this stuff right where they sit as well. My Lord and my God, he says to him. And Jesus said, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed and have believed. That's the faith that I believe blesses God. Thank you, Jesus. So why did Jesus go through this process? He did many things, the Bible says. In verse 30, it says, truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. It says there that he did many other signs to help people with their belief. And then he goes on to say, but these things are written. Why? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's why it was written. Why were people healed? Why were there demonstrations of great power from God? Because he loved people. Because many people couldn't read. Because he had compassion. Because for some it helped them to get on a track to belief. Miracles alone don't save. There's many who I believe have been healed who are not saved. The word of God. Hearing the word of God is what brings us to the point of salvation because it's a work of the Holy Spirit once the word of God comes to us. God has given us gifts, and the gifts he's given are for us to pray for people, that healing would come to them. What's the big deal about that? Maybe in the process you get to speak the word of God to them. God heals those because he is full of love and compassion, but he is at work, and he's always at work, and his desire is to be at work in you and me as well. Thank you, Jesus, for desiring to use me. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, and without controversies, great is the mystery of godliness. God who is manifested in the flesh, justified by the Spirit, seen by the angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. 1 Corinthians 15:55. This is such a beautiful, powerful scripture for this day. I think we just sang about it. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are on a process of going from total depravity and brokenness to a broken that brings about a sweet humility before God, that I could bow my knee before him, that makes me right, that makes me at the end of the line instead of the one cutting to the front of the line, that will take me up into the kingdom just like it will so many of you. Pastor James, if you could. And what he's doing right now, he's been knocking from the start of this service. He's been knocking on your heart's door. And some have resisted him forever. I was in my mid-20s before he cracked a hard heart. And he's knocking on your heart's door right now. And his desire is that you would come to know him. That the forgiveness that has already taken place would be for you too, because you receive it. And we receive it when we make Jesus Lord in our life. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. If that's you and you're here today, and you're here because you're a family of somebody who comes here, you're a friend, or somebody invited you, or because it's Easter, that's okay. If you're here because of that, and you're hearing something for the first time, and you say, I need this, or you've heard it 1,000 times, and today I'm going to receive it. I have to change. Something's got to give. If that's you, you can just slip your hand up. Every eye should be closed just so people can be free. I see little kids raising their hands. Isn't that precious? Oh, my goodness. Little kids in here are raising their hands. Is there anybody else that would like to receive Jesus? Yes, sir. I see that hand in the back. Thank you. Is there anybody else that would like to receive that? That gift of salvation. You say, that's for me too. I want that. Anyone? Thank you, Jesus. We know that heaven gets excited at the salvation of the soul, and we know that we should get excited too. So if you could, at minimum, clap for the man that raised his hand to receive Jesus today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.